The mission of the Nature Conservancy is to preserve the lands and waters on which all life depends. And so we work on protecting nature, but it's not just nature for nature's sake. It's also nature for people's sake, because one thing we've learned over the years is that people are fully dependent on the health of nature. So we're looking out for nature, we're looking out for people, and that's because there's a very tight relationship between both. Nature depends on people, and people depend on nature.
But we'll talk a little bit about the science behind all of that, but of course we have to jump right into the political reality and what that means for organizations like yourself and the reality of conservation. How are you dealing with the new appointments by the Trump administration, the proclamations, the new policies, and the attitude towards conservation?
Yeah, well, we're at the core of how we're responding is what we've always been at the Nature Conservancy, which is an organization that really looks to find common ground based on the best available science. And so we're going to maintain that position. We're going to continue to work with partners all around the state of all political stripes, of all socioeconomic backgrounds and so forth, to get the important work done that needs to get done. That said, we're very concerned about the proposed budget that was floated recently and the massive cuts that it's going to make to the science programs and also the management of the lands and waters throughout the U.S.
Well, in addition to those budget cuts and really the impact on particularly some of the federal research labs, which is very pertinent in this area, there's also a very much a change in attitude around public lands and stewardship and more of a shift towards the commodification of public lands. That has brought in maybe some strange bedfellows where we're having maybe hunters and people who might traditionally identify with being on the more conservative end of the spectrum standing up to say, no, we need to preserve our public lands. What do you see as the major issues facing public lands and stewardship right now under the Trump administration? And who are the voices and who are the main actors now we're hearing from?
Yeah, well, for us, hunters have always been a really important partner, as have farmers and ranchers. And so even though when you look at the demographics that that voted for the current administration, you might conclude that that hunters and farmers and ranchers don't care about the environment. But we know they do, and we know that because we've worked with them for a long time.
So it might be worth just clarifying that they don't necessarily declare themselves as environmentalists. However, a lot of the actions put them in that camp.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I wouldn't often apply the term environmentalist to some of these partners, but I do know they care very deeply about the outdoors. And so if we take public lands, for example, I'm encouraged by what has been a groundswell of concern about what might happen with our public lands here. At the most extreme, of course, there are constituencies that want to divest federal lands to states in private ownership. I don't think that's going to happen, but we can't give up that fight. Fortunately, there are a lot of voices that are really pushing back on those proposals, including these conservative voices as well that really see the value in our public lands. So what are the problems? The problems are both funding for the work that needs to be done on those lands, but then also the what's permitted on those lands and how that work is managed. But let me also add that recreation is just so incredibly important. And fortunately, your listeners know how valuable our public lands are. And so fortunately, there's a really powerful voice here in Colorado to maintain those public lands. Nationally, we have about a $650 billion recreational economy, and that economy depends heavily on public lands, and that's nowhere more true than right here in Colorado.
We're seeing that a lot now here in Colorado, say when it comes to water conservation, where we're able to put a dollar value on the recreational aspect of keeping water in rivers, for example, to rafters and to other recreationists. And that seems to have changed the conversation a little bit more, saying, look, it's actually economically more beneficial to preserve nature in this way, as opposed to the economic argument being used against it, saying, well, industry is what we need to focus on as an economic boon. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. There was a study that was done a couple of years ago that quantified the value of the recreational economy on the Colorado River alone, which, of course, we are highly dependent on here in Colorado. It's a $29 billion economy. And really important thing about that economy, too, is that that often hits in small places, in small towns, in small businesses. And it's something that draws people to Colorado and to the West. So the value of that is increasingly being recognized, and we need to keep talking about that.
And, you know, not to delve too much into this area, but it also seems very much when we talk about the impact of the economies in small rural areas, that we're seeing recreation tied to conservation as a way for economies that have traditionally been tied to fossil fuel and extractive industries, because of course mining is huge and oil and gas drilling huge in the Western Slope. Those communities are looking for other economic ways to make their communities viable. Do you see conservation as being able to really step in into that kind of economic gap that might be widening if the fossil fuel industries are moving away?
Well, recreation is already, the recreation community is already a really big partner of ours. On the Dolores River this year, the water managers on the Dolores River are managing some flood flow releases according to a prescription that was developed by water users and rafters on the Dolores River and several environmental groups. And what we're trying to do there is make sure the water users still get the water that they need. But then we're also trying to create a healthier river and provide the boaters the flows that they need to be able to enjoy their recreational opportunities as well. And so that all comes together really naturally. And you're right, it hits in small towns like Cortez, Colorado, and Dolores, Colorado. And it brings a lot of economic activity into those communities.
We're speaking this morning on KGNU with John Sanderson, who's the Director of Science with the Nature Conservancy here in Boulder. And they're one of the sponsors of the upcoming March for Science that's happening. The marches are happening indeed around the country. There's one in Denver, one in Washington, D.C., and it's happening on Earth Day on April 22nd. We'll get more details on that in just a minute. But there's so much to talk about in terms of the impact on your realm and the work that you do of the new Trump administration. And we have a cabinet and a president who basically deny climate change and human impact on that. And then we have proclamations saying that we shouldn't promote renewable energy above other forms of energy. All of these things going against decades of scientific research. I mean, what do you feel as a scientist when you're hearing this coming from the highest office?
Well, there's no denying the science, and that's for sure.
And yet it's being denied.
But it is being denied. And my brother tells a really great story about, he's an airline pilot, and he had an argument a few years ago about the value of science while sitting at 35,000 feet in a plane that weighs 1,000,000 pounds, fully loaded. And so it's the science that allowed him to even be in that place. It was science that allows us to use this technology in the studio here. And so I continue to have confidence that the value of science is seen certainly by your listeners' community and here in Colorado. And what's happening in D.C. right now is being denied and is denying science, and we're really concerned about that. But if we look right here in Colorado, there's still a lot of momentum to keep doing what we're doing, to invest in renewables, to do the climate science we need to do, to think about our energy use and to deal with climate change issues, even among some of the most conservative communities in Colorado, like the water user community. So there are places where there's a lot of hope, notwithstanding what's happening in D.C., and I think what we want to do is really focus on where we can make the most progress.
Just to clarify, you say the water user community is being a conservative group. I guess we're all water users. The highest water use being, though, with the agricultural industry. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, well, the water managers traditionally, and everything about Colorado water law is actually about taking water out of rivers. And part of our job is to make sure there's enough water in the rivers in the right places at the right time to sustain healthy rivers. But that community, the water manager community, generally leans conservative, but they also see very clearly what's coming at us. Last month, it's no surprise to anyone in Boulder that March was the second warmest month ever globally. We just got that news today. Last year was the warmest month ever, 16 of the last 17 years. were warmer, were the 16 warmest years on record. And this doesn't come to any surprise to anyone living here on the Front Range, right? And the water manager community sees this. They know it's happening, and they know it has real implications for us here in Colorado. So we need to deal with it. We need to face up to it. And it's the science that's telling all of us what's happening, and we're using that science to analyze both what the challenges are and what the solutions can be.
There's been so much attention paid to the appointment of Scott Pruitt as head of the EPA. That's just one federal agency that we're seeing changes at. What are the main federal agencies that are connected to your work, to conservation, to the environment? Outside of the EPA, what are some of the other agencies that we should be paying attention to?
Well, there's Department of Interior for sure. Many of the most important agencies that agencies that we're concerned about are in the Department of Interior. There was a paper in the story in the Colorado, and just a couple days ago, interviewing the supervisor of Rocky Mountain National Park, and the National Park Service is in Interior, and they are underfunded, they're understaffed, they're struggling from a hiring freeze, and they're having to face the fact that we're adding 100,000 people a year to Colorado. And so our population is growing, putting more pressure on our resources, at the same time that the resources we need to sustain those our water and our air and our lands are diminishing. And so there's a real challenge there. But there's Bureau of Land Management, there's U.S. Forest Service, and there are quite a few research entities, even right here in Boulder, that we're quite concerned about: the National Center for Atmospheric Research, Western Water Assessment, and several others that get a lot of federal funding that addresses critically important questions. And as you know, there are literally thousands of jobs that are at risk right now here in Colorado alone because of these budget cuts that seem to be coming towards us.
Outside of that immediate impact on the jobs that are here, the research that's already happening, what do you see as a scientist, the impact on future generations of science when we're seeing such a politicization of science? We're seeing people maybe in an industry that doesn't have a certain future, certainly with funding, but also in terms of, you know, the attitude from, like I said, the highest office. Are we seeing a chilling impact on students maybe going into climate science? And that's the generation that we need to work with to find the solutions to get us out of this mess that we're in.
Well, it is a chilling effect. And I'm certainly seeing that among my colleagues who do climate research. And no one wants to write that word in a proposal anymore or in a research description, very regrettably. About students, I was talking with a colleague just a couple of weeks ago about a grant that she had, a federal grant, to put some students to work on a research project this coming summer. And 3 days before the money was supposed to hit her bank account, it was yanked from underneath her.
And by who? That was federal money?
It was federal money. Yeah, it was federal money. And so these students who were going to get a fabulous experience working on natural resources with this really qualified professor are denied that opportunity now. And so we are going to be impacting those generations. But I think ultimately, you know, we're in a day where science is so clearly important to everything that we're interacting with these days, you know, our cell phones and driverless cars and the management of our forests and the management of our water. It's all over the place. And I'm hopeful it will prevail, that this sentiment, because you're right on that the feeling that science is politicized versus an objective thing that we need to bring to bear across all political persuasions, that's a real problem. And so we need to do more of that bridging to get past the politics of science, because science is science and we all need it. It doesn't matter what our political persuasion is, and it doesn't matter what we're trying to accomplish. We all need the science.
How has your work changed, or has your work at the Nature Conservancy changed, or that of your colleagues, since the election of Donald Trump and since all of these cabinet appointments? Have you moved into a more defensive position, or are you still just doing what you've always done?
Well, fortunately, as far as funding is concerned, we actually don't receive a whole lot of federal funding, and we mostly have a lot of very generous members and supporters on the private side that help us with the funding. So that hasn't been a problem yet. In terms of the substantive conservation work, We're really focusing in Colorado and continuing to work with our partners here.
Give us some examples of some of the projects you're involved in.
Well, so our forests filter our water, and they help to keep the water clean that comes into Boulder and comes into Denver, for example. And we are working with Denver Water and the U.S. Forest Service and the Upper South Platte Partnership to manage Front Range forests so that those forests continue to deliver clean water to us. And at the same time, we're reducing the risk of catastrophic wildfire to people as well. And so ask Denver Water about science. They know how important it is. After the Hayman Fire in 2002, they spent $20 million cleaning out a reservoir. And what we now know from the science is that if we manage the forest better, we won't have to do that reactive work. We can keep the forest healthy so that it maintains clean water, reduces sediment, keeps water quality good, and so forth. So that's an example. We continue to work with ranchers out in Colorado, in eastern Colorado, and with the Natural Resource Conservation Service and academic partners to try to figure out how we can keep our food production that's happening in the ranching community, how we can keep that sustainable. We're doing a lot of work on the Colorado River as well, working with irrigators in the Grand Valley around Grand Junction to put better technology in place so we can do more precise irrigation, and then also allow irrigators the opportunity to take a break now and then to fallow their lands and leave the water in the river for river health and to meet downstream water needs, and at the same time put funding sources in place so that those farmers who are relinquishing their water are getting fully compensated for the value that they are giving up.
Now, you didn't specifically mention it, but it seems like so many of those projects are also very directly related to soil health. And that's something that's so often now being discussed in terms of either carbon sequestration or just that knock-on effect and what happens with watersheds if we have, you know, unhealthy soil or too much runoff. Are you doing anything specifically around soil?
Yeah, so speaking of the role of science, it's made it really clear that the role of soil in maintaining food productivity and maintaining our carbon stocks is really, really critical. And so even if you just you look at the forest, you see the carbon in the forest because it's all those trees. If you look to eastern Colorado, you don't see the carbon, but there is a lot in our soils. The soils around the world, grassland soils, contain about 30% of all the carbon in the world. And so we really need to maintain that. And so we maintain it by managing our cultivated lands a bit differently, managing our grazing lands differently, but then also making sure that we don't see our lands tilled up. Because if you take a piece of native prairie that is serving a rancher who puts his cows on it, if you till that land, very quickly, you lose 30, 40, 50% of all the carbon that is in that soil. So you're absolutely right. That carbon budget is really important. And the way we manage our resources very much dictates how that carbon balance plays out over time.
We've talked about the impact of the federal government on your work and conservation and environmentalism here in the state. But what about the state government here? Because there's a gubernatorial election that's coming up. Of course, there's constant flux at the state house. What's at stake with state politics and how it pertains to what you're doing?
Yeah, well, we really partner often with many people at the state and many agencies at the state, and we have worked well with the current governor over the years.
Although he's come under a lot of criticism for his support of the oil and gas industry.
He has, yeah. So he's not perfect, and we don't love everything that he does, but we've worked really well on a lot of issues with the state and also with other entities throughout the state. And ditto with the state assembly. We have a lot of good partners there. And of course, we don't always get whatever we want, but we have a lot of good partnerships there and have made a lot of good progress over the years. One key one, for example, that's coming up pretty soon in the General Assembly is going to be the reauthorization of Great Outdoors Colorado. That's the lottery fund, most of which goes towards parks and open space and land protection. It's been an absolute boon to Colorado over the past 20 plus years that it's been in place. And our goal, one of the main goals we have with the General Assembly in the coming years is to make sure that we sustain that funding source to keep being able to invest in Colorado land and water to protect it for ourselves and for future generations here.
We're speaking with John Sanderson, Director of Science at the Nature Conservancy here at KGNU. The Nature Conservancy is one of the sponsors of the upcoming March for Science happening on Earth Day, April 22nd. There are marches happening all over the country, particularly main one in DC, but there is one here in Denver. Tell us what's going to be happening. You're doing a teach-in. There's a lot going to be going on April 22nd.
Yeah, so this is a really big deal because we really do want to stand up for science. And I think one, you asked earlier about how we're changing the way we work in response to what's happening in DC. And one thing that TNC members and donors are seeing is that we're being more assertive about the importance of science and the importance of investing in our natural resources. And so the March for Science on April 22nd allows us an opportunity to stand up with other scientists and with our broader community to say this is really important and we need to get this right and we need to keep investing in science and in our lands and waters. And so we're going to be having a table there, a teach-in table.
This is in Denver.
We're co-sponsoring the event in Denver. We're going to have a table there where people can participate in various activities. We're also going to be there in our TNC colors, standing up for what we believe is really important, for not only for Colorado, but for the entire country. We're also major sponsors of the march that's happening in D.C. I've got one of my staff that's heading out there for that march, but we're going to be playing a prominent role in D.C. as well. And as you mentioned, these marches are happening in quite a few places throughout the country, and we encourage people to join us in Denver and D.C. and wherever these marches for science are happening.
Now, we've seen hundreds of thousands of people on the streets for other marches, like the Women's March right after Inauguration Day. Are you hoping for similar numbers and a similar response?
I'm probably not real good at predicting the amount of turnout we might get. And I haven't even yet heard any speculation about what that might be. But yes, we hope that there's a big turnout. We hope that we can really get our supporters and anyone who cares about the beauty of Colorado and our natural resources to show up and give us your support.
So this is all happening April 22nd. It is Earth Day and it's the March for Science marches. There's loads of them happening, but specifically Denver and Washington, D.C. Is there information at your website?
Yes.
We linked that at kgnu.org. Well, John Sanderson, any final thoughts about what listeners who are just overall concerned about? There are so many different things to be concerned about, but particularly your area, science, how it pertains to the environment, how it pertains to conservation. What should people be paying attention to?
Well, certainly we should be paying attention to the way that our funding is going to be distributed and the kinds of laws and policies that changes that are coming out of D.C. And we should speak up, you know, when we see things that we know are not the way we need to be heading with our resources and with our policies. And so we're being outspoken when we see issues that conflict with our core values, with our representatives and with the administration, and others should do the same. And by all means, pick your favorite nonprofits to invest in to help make sure that we maintain a great focus on what is so beautiful about Colorado and what is so necessary to sustain everything we love about this state.
And what do you see as the long-term implications of this? Because if another administration comes in 4 years, in 8 years, things can shift so quickly. I mean, what is the long-term damage that could happen if we don't move ahead with climate change research, if we move backwards in terms of funding renewable energies? How long can this really be impacting us?
Yeah, well, a long time is the answer for sure. We haven't yet seen us as a society turning the corner on carbon emissions and rising temperatures, and that's going to continue happening. And the longer we delay to really put into place the things that need to be put into place, to deal with carbon emissions and rising temperatures, then the greater impacts we're going to see over time. We're already seeing those impacts in all of our ecosystems, and we'll see more of them and deeper impacts over time the longer we delay in taking action.
And have we gone past the point of no return in certain aspects of this?
Well, I'm somewhat of a pathological optimist, I think, to borrow a phrase I heard recently. And I have a lot of faith and hope in the ingenuity and creativity and determination of people. And so I'm hopeful that we will continue to be able to adapt. At the same time, there will be consequences, and those consequences will be greater. People talk about a tipping point. It's really hard to identify in scientific terms. Whether or not we've passed it is very difficult to say. But we do know that we are already experiencing adverse consequences, and we'll see more of those. And so we need to keep working to deal with our energy issues and to deal with our impact on this planet generally.
John Sanderson is the Director of Science at the Nature Conservancy in Boulder. And the Nature Conservancy is sponsoring the March for Science happening in Washington, D.C. and also in Denver on April 22nd. We'll put a link to their website that has more details at kgnu.org. John, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.